You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
You know, last week we started a new sermon series called A Heart for the House. And it's all about... It's all about your place in this space, right? It's all about why, what God's doing here, the culture of our church, how you can get involved, and what God's going to continue to do in our church. And I want to encourage you to get the podcast of last week's message as we celebrated the past, as we honored the present, and as we looked forward to what God's going to do in our future. Because God's really been good to us. He really has. That song, man, that song is not just an anthem for the individuals in our church, but it's an anthem for the church itself. God has been so good to us. And it's not only because of God's work, though, that this place has grown and been blessed. Is it all right to say that? It's not only because of God. You know when you've got a, you know, you start a business and it's blessed and you're like, it's all God. And it's just not true that it's all God. Let that settle in for a second, because some people are like, oh, snap, heresy up in here, right? It's just not all God. To look at a church that's growing and seeing souls saved every week and say it's all God is, number one, an insult to every other church that's not growing, because it's like, well, God hates you, and so because it's all God over here. And it's also, but it also gives people an excuse to continue to be mediocre, right? Like, God has blessed your obedience to His word and His promises and His call. God has blessed your passion for Him and His presence and His people, and God has blessed your tremendous faith. Amen. And that's what God's blessing, and that's what God blesses. When you step out in faith, otherwise faith is useless and not worth anything at all, right? And so God blesses great faith, hard work, and obedience to His calling and what He's calling people to do. And so this whole series, we also just want to say thank you. We love you. God bless you. You are building the kingdom. Amen. And God is putting a supernatural Holy Ghost multiplying blessing on what we're doing. Does that sound good? And so thank you and God bless you. If you weren't here, go watch the podcast. That's Australian for podcast. And you'll learn after a while that if I ever missay a word, I just blame it on being Australian, and most of the churches, like, oh, that makes sense, you know. And so go grab the podcast, get a taste of what is to come. That'll be fantastic. And have you know that often around these parts, we talk about how God not only designed you, but He designed a space for you. So God, before time began, and He says, you know, let us make mankind in our image, and then He thought of you, right? At that moment, He didn't just think of Adam and Eve, He thought of you right then. Isn't that a cool thought? That God is immediately thinking of all of us. But He didn't only create us, He didn't only make a blueprint for us, but He also created a space for us. A slot in this world that's not like some, you know, everyone conform to everything kind of way. Not like, you will do this and that's it. But this spot where we will thrive, individually thrive, and just bless God, bless our families, and bless His kingdom. God designed a spot for you. And we all believe that we all have a role to play. And as a church, that it's not my job or our job to decide when or even if you're qualified to serve God, but to help you discover where is the space that God designed for you. How's that sound? So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. I'm going to give you a moment to get there. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. You got it? You ready? Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ and the church. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. But of many. The church. This is talking about the church. If you're new to church, you've never heard this scripture before. It's a little bit poetic, I guess, and you sort of look at it and you're like, I don't quite understand this. It's talking about the church as a body, right? So we are a body. And the body isn't just one thing, but many different things that make one body. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Is that right? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease being part of the body. True? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And that would be weird, wouldn't it, if the whole body was an eye? We'd just be rolling, rolling, rolling everywhere we go. And that'd be weird too if we were even singing that, because there'd be no ear to hear that. And so we would just be rolling around. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every single one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I can't tell you that I don't need you. How about that? I can't decide that you don't deserve to be a part of this body. If you're here, God wants you here, and God has a plan for you here. Amen. And the head cannot say to the feet, yo, feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with a special honor. And the parts that we think are unpresentable are treated with a special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Equal concern for each other. Let me tell you, if you're only concerned about me but not your neighbor right now, there's a problem. Equal concern for each other. You shouldn't be just concerned about my well-being and how I'm doing and not care how the person three rows behind you is doing. Come on, church. Equal concern for each other. Now, in a church like this, you may not know the person three rows behind you, but when you hear about their struggle or their hurt, you should care as much about their hurt as you do about my hurt. Amen. Equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's why later on in the scripture, it goes on to say that we should rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. It means we care. We spend time with. Now you are the body of Christ. That's you pointing like this. And then you individually are part of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together. Do you agree with that, church? Come on, let's thank Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for all the people who you've brought through these doors. Thank you for all the people who are going to come through these doors in the future. God, help us to help your people find their space, the space that you designed for them in this church. Help us to continue to create an atmosphere that allows all people to serve you, no matter their history, no matter their sex, their race, their background. God, help this be a place that is home for every human that we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, do you believe that? Come on. A friend of mine this week told me about a conversation that he had with a friend of his a few years ago. His friend asked him what he thinks of when he thinks about God. My friend answered, well, I think about God as a father, loving, providing, caring, wanting to help me. His friend responded by saying, huh, when I think about God, I think about Him like an angry coach waiting for me to screw up so He can yank me off the team sit me on the bench until I can prove myself worthy again. So many people view God like that. So many of you know in your head God's not like that, but it hasn't got to your heart yet. Have you ever seen the movie The Matrix? Everything that you see is not as it seems, you know, that everything that you're looking at, it's not really there. The spoon, bend the spoon. There is no spoon, right? There is no spoon. Well, it's all in your head, right? I want to tell you today that the bench is in your head. The bench is in your head. There is no bench. And it's amazing what we don't know other people are dealing with. You might be in this place and you're like, I feel good. I feel worthy. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. You may not be sitting here going, I'm so good. You know, you're just like, hey, God's done a really good thing in me. You know, I'm not where I need to be, but by golly, I thank God I'm not where I used to be. And I'm really grateful for what God's done in me. And I know that He's made me worthy. And so because He's made me worthy, I feel worthy. But we don't want to forget that not everybody feels that way. Not everybody's been in the house of God long enough to know that yet, right? You don't know the difficulty that the person in front of you or behind you is going through. We don't know how hard it was for them to just get up and get dressed to come to church this morning because they feel so unworthy to be around people, let alone God's people. And so we don't know the difficulty that they've had, but God wants to speak to that person this morning. God wants to speak to the benched today, and God wants to speak to the unqualified people in this room today. So if you're not desperate to hear from God about being unbenched or qualified, would you get desperate for that person today? Would you let God inhabit your praises today? Would you make some noise in this place? Let out a shout of praise in this place that scares the devil and his demons away. A Holy Ghost, shame-breaking, qualifying shout of praise. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray right now for the benched and unqualified, that right now you would begin to minister to them. That as I preach this word, you would begin to seal these words upon their hearts. Use these words, Lord God. Use this moment, this sermon, these scriptures to knit their heart back together, I pray. And Lord God, let your presence make all things new in their lives. Hallelujah. You know, God does not bench you. God will not bench you. We have so many reasons why we think we would be benched. We got divorced. We cheated on our spouses. We looked at pornography. We yelled at our bosses. We talked about the pastor and how he looks silly without a beard. We thought his gold jacket had marijuana leaves on it, but it was palm leaves. Surely God's benched me now, right? God is not gonna put you on the bench. He's not into benching you until you can prove yourself again. Jesus proved himself on that bloody cross. On that blood-stained cross, he proved himself so that you can get in the game. Amen? There is no bench. There's not one. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And you are the body. You are part of it. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you feel qualified or not, whether you feel worthy or not, you are part of the body in Jesus' name. So that means you belong here. And that means that there's a space for you in this place. Did you mess up? Did you screw up? Do you feel like you're not worthy? Do you actually believe that you're the one person who has nothing to offer? Like out of all the people God created, and he wrote the words, and we know in the word of God that he has a plan for every person. Do you really believe that you're the one that was just so jacked up that God couldn't even destine your life? Come on. There's a space in this place with your name on it. God wrote it there. God carefully placed it there. Just like when people prepare the table for their wedding and this person in this setting and this person on this setting. God knowing everything about you and everything about us and all of your weaknesses and all of your strengths and all of my weaknesses and all of my strengths, he knew where to put you. Put your name tag on it. He planned it. It's not the church's job to qualify you. It's our job to help you find the place that God already qualified you for. Amen. The two main reasons people feel like they've been benched are failure and qualification. People think they messed up so bad that they can't be useful to God ever again, and so they bench themselves. Or people think that their background or personality disqualifies them, and they don't feel qualified to represent him. I don't have what it takes to represent him. You see it all the time. Some preacher screws up, does something wrong, and then we never hear from them again. And we think that failure is fatal. I want to tell you, failure is not fatal. And every saved person is a qualified person. Do you really think that your family background is inferior? Do you really think that your body isn't good enough? Do you really think you don't have anything to offer the kingdom of God? Do you really think that your gender is inferior to mine? That's nonsense. God didn't make inferior people. The value of a person in God is not influenced by their behavior, by their strength or their skill level, and it's most certainly not influenced by your body, background, gender, race, or the presence or absence of what people deem to be good looks. That's not gonna qualify you. No one is unqualified after the cross. No one is unqualified after the cross. The cross is what qualified you, church. Jesus came to earth in a family of nut jobs. Not even kidding. That's the second time today someone's going to email someone and say, he said this. They were nut jobs. Psychos. I don't even know if there was a psychopath in there somewhere. You should read the story. Jesus' introduction to the world, before they even put out their Instagram post announcing his arrival, was a lot of messed up people from his family. Literally in scripture, God's like, I'm gonna tell everyone about my boy. I'm gonna tell everyone about this God man. But first, let me show them the family he cometh from. And then it lists his family before Jesus. It lists his family. And they're nut jobs. Crazy people. Murderous people. Not like murderous, but murdering people. Liars. Arrogant people. Broken people too. People with shame. Hurting people. And God introduces the Savior of the world to us, saying, check out his people. He's like, look at them. Why is that list even there? Because God's saying, look at them. They're messed up. They're psycho. They're nut jobs. And I'm not ashamed to use them. And I'm not ashamed to be related to them. And I'm not ashamed to be counted among them. He's letting you know, you. This is why he did this, to let you know that he's not gonna untag himself from your Facebook posts. And he won't untag himself from your party pictures where maybe you made a fool of yourself. Well, he ain't untagging himself from that. He won't untag himself from your courtroom proceedings. And he won't untag himself from your shame or shameful things. When we see a Christian on social media proclaiming to be a Christian but doing something crappy, the Christians start commenting. I heard a saying once that no one kills their wounded like the church. And I don't 100% agree with that. I think most churches are really good at it, but there's like a super loud minority of church people that love to attack the wounded. Do you know what I mean? And so I don't believe that's true, but they're loud, the ones that make that true. And so we see someone who professes to be a Christian in the public eye or just on social media, and they say something or they do something crappy, and people say things like, "Some kind of Christian you are." Like there's a good one out there. He should be ashamed of himself. And Christians begin to distance themselves, right? Some pastor did some jacked up things, and every other pastor is distancing himself from them. I didn't even know him. I met him once, but I didn't even know what he was about. I just thought, nice beard, and that's it. And so we distance ourselves from people who mess up because we think they're not representing us the way they ought to be. Like, really? Their job isn't to represent us. It's him. And the one who they're supposed to be representing, Jesus, with tears in his eyes, he's commenting, "I'm still with you. I'm still here. Still with you, bro. Still with you, sis. I'm not ashamed of you. I designed you. And when I designed you, I knew these crappy things you would do. And I still decided to save you. I still knew I'd love you." Some of y'all are like, "Nah, that can't be true." Let me tell you now, I'm not saying you should go do stupid things. Like, in fact, if you want some advice, don't do stupid things. All right? Well, that's good advice, right? Yeah. Right? Like, don't go out getting drunk. I want to tell you right now, it's a really dumb thing to do, and not many people on the next day go, "That was awesome. Glad I did it." You know, like, it's really rare that anyone ever says that. You know, no one goes out and goes, "I landed a great job last night when I was drunk," right? Like, so I'm not recommending you do any of these things, okay? I recommend you read the Bible, and if it says not to do something, it's not so you can't have fun. It's because it's not going to be good for you. But if you do it, I'm not going to untag myself from you, and neither's him. Amen? He's not ashamed. Even if you mess up every single day, God's still got a job for you to do. I don't care if you come to church smelling like cigarette and smelling like you're hungover. You can still greet at my front door, all right? I'm not going to like, "We better get the stinky guy off the front door." No, if nothing else, people will be like, "Man, don't let anybody in here. I'll be just fine." Let me show you what I'm talking about. But again, don't go do dumb things. I'm going to show you a list of people. A lot of them were in a list of Jesus' background. And as I'm saying it, some of you are like, "They shouldn't even be on the list. They can't help things like that about their lives." No, that's true. Some things you can't even help about yourself, but you put yourself, you bench yourself. So I just want to show you God can still use everyone and everything, yeah? And then there's other people you'll be like, they definitely should be on the bench for sure. And they're lucky that Jesus is good, right? And that's the problem though, isn't it? When we are measuring what isn't sinful or what can and cannot be forgiven or what God will or will not use, you know? What we do is we go, if it's up to us who God can save and how much grace there is, it's like, and your heart is the level of sin in your life and we're all like, boom, me plus or minus 10 is probably about right. And that's cool until you meet someone who's like way better than you. And their plus or minus 10 is like one above you, and now you're going to hell. And you're like, what? Everybody's level is going to be like, well, it's just how good I am plus or minus 10, right? And so there's just everything is covered by the blood of the Savior on the cross. Everything, right? It doesn't make the things right. They'll still hurt you. The things that you do wrong, they'll still hurt you. And they'll still hurt the people around you until you come and ask Jesus to help you with that. Amen. Let me show you a list of some people that God embraced and even used in scriptures. People with strengths, people without dignity, people who other people condemned, and people who condemned themselves, and people who other people praised even. He used a multitude of people from a multitude of backgrounds and backstories. Can I just point out, he doesn't only use the most broken and messed up people, he can use some of the most uplifted people as well, right? Don't be like, oh God, well, not you. No. God uses everyone who's willing to be used by God. He embraced and gave purpose to hookers. Not once, not twice, a number of times. He used weird people. Like weird people. No man, I mean like weird people. He used a dude who had his equipment cut off. I'm not trying to be gross, I just don't really know how else do we say that. He used that guy to see an entire nation saved. That dude is why there's Christians in Ethiopia today. He used a poor woman who had only a few cents to rub together. He used a rich man who needed his servant healed to show people about faith. He used an oppressor of God's people. He used murderers. He used the shamed and the embarrassed. He used a man who was known as useless and made him useful for the man who labeled him useless. God used Noah the drunkard while he was a drunkard. Now, he must have sorted himself out first. No, he didn't. You should. But God can still use you. No matter what struggle you got going on, there's a space for you here. Moses was speech impaired and didn't even count himself worthy in the beginning, and later called himself the most humble man that ever lived. That was a big change. Wasn't that, eh? Abraham was old. Like, if you think you're old in here, you ain't. Abraham was, like, old. Esther was the prettiest woman in the land. Nothing wrong with being beautiful. Ruth was a lonely widow. Jonah ran away from God. He ran away from God. Yo, Jonah, go to Kansas City. Jonah's like, hey, God, is that way? God's like, yeah, it's that way. Jonah's like, all right, peace. I'm going to Minneapolis. That's what Jonah did. Now, let me tell you about Jonah. The quicker you respond and say yes to God, the better it's going to go. Get in the habit of saying yes as soon as God speaks. The better it's going to go. Jonah ends up sitting by a tree with like one leaf for a bit of shade. And he's complaining about it. And then a worm eats it. It's gone. Now he's like, no shade. Blech. Hate life. This is stupid. Meanwhile, the whole city got saved. He's angry because God saved him. I think if Jonah said yes straight away, he'd have been sitting there with an icy glass of Coke, umbrella in it, straw, palm tree, in his bathers, getting ready to have a swim. That's how I think it would have gone if he said yes right away. The quicker you say yes, the better it'll go. David was an adulterer and then let the shame of his adultery lead him to murder to cover the shame. Peter told some lies and was even ashamed to admit he was a Christian. I don't know if you've ever done that. You one of those Jesus people? Nah. I just go to church because dude has an accent. Thomas didn't have as much faith as everybody else and got labeled Doubting Thomas. Like, why? That's cool, thanks. That's my name, Doubting Dude. Saul was the Christian's biggest enemies by Satan himself. You're not going to get benched, church. you're not going to get benched. Come on, listen to me. You are not going to get benched. Church, would you stand up and get ready to receive more from God this morning? I don't ever want to be the church that allows ourselves to disqualify those that the cross has qualified. I don't want to be the church that judges somebody's abilities based upon some preconceived understanding of their history, their family background, their gender, their race. We just want to hear from God about what everybody's space in this place looks like, what God's called them to do in the house of God. We got so many places you can serve at church here. Ushers, greeters, parking lot, coffee bar, production, kingdom builders, connection, lounge, prayer team, safety team, elementary, upstairs, early childhood, downstairs, early childhood, downstairs again. Brand new fancy rooms, by the way, check them out. Youth connect group leaders, info desk, worship team, building and maintenance, mops teams, prayer team, ladies lounge coming soon. Men's lounge coming soon. We've got a ladies' lounge over there. It's beautiful, and Beth Miller's going to start that because, well, ladies, you don't have to feed your baby in there, but if you want to, you can. And so we have this nice room set aside for you, and we don't want it just to be this place where you got to go to get something done. We want it to be a blessing room. And so we're really working hard to find ways to make sure that if you go into that room, you're going to leave blessed, cared for, looked after, someone in there giving you a soda or a bottle of water or whatever it is you want while you're in there. So we got a team. We're also building a men's lounge because some kids are bottle fed. Why does it have to be that mama always has to leave church in the middle of the service, right? And so we decided we're going to make a men's lounge so daddy can take the baby. But we also know that daddies won't, unless we make it uber cool. So we're doing that too. We'll make it uber cool. So, but we want to make sure. And there'll be people in there serving the men, serving the women, to make sure that that moment of church is still a blessing to your life. Amen. You can serve in the ladies' lounge, the men's lounge, young adults. There's a place for you. The cross has qualified you. There is no bench, and nothing feels better than knowing God is using you to bring hope and life back to His creation. And I want you as well. Me, I'm the lead pastor here. So no matter what somebody else ever says, because our church is full of people and some people aren't super nice yet, but they'll get there. And we love people who aren't super nice yet, don't we? Right? We love you, we can love them, right? And so I want you to know though, that I want you to serve. I want you to be a builder. If you have a heart for this house, you can volunteer and serve on our teams. There is one for you. Let's get ready to close with 2 Corinthians. Paul says about our confidence in God, not that we are competent or qualified in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence or qualification comes from God. He has made us qualified as ministers of a new covenant, not the letter of the law and rules, but of the Spirit of God, for the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of God gives life. The Spirit of God gives life. It's not about a tick box. It's not about a checklist. It's about, do you want to be used by God? There's a space for you if you do. Hallelujah. The chicks, nothing to do with them. The check box. The check box. You know what the list does? People look at the list. Oh, I've got to do all these things to serve. And they just pretend to be able to tick them. But you know what grace does? Grace says you can serve while you're not even meeting these. But would you do us one thing? Would you just promise to keep seeking God and asking Him what the next step is in your life? What the next victory is going to be? And then work on the victory. Work on the step that God gives you. Amen. I want to end with this. We're not just your calling and not just serving, but for some of you, just living life in general, just believing that God loves you, just believing that God wants to bless you, just believing that God wants to heal you. Some of you have struggled with that because you've benched yourselves. God has not benched you. Someone may have told you that you needed to be benched. They were wrong. God's not ashamed of you. He's your Savior and your friend. He's not untagging Himself. And today, I want you to get unbenched. I want you to unhitch yourself from the shame that's already been paid for. When it's prayer time in a minute, I want you to come down the front for prayer, because God's not finished with you. It's renewal time in Jesus' name. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, that's the Jesus you got to get to know. Not the one with the tick box and the list of rules, but the one with grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, forgiveness upon forgiveness upon forgiveness upon forgiveness, again and again and again. That's the Jesus you got to get to know. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Yeah, there's stuff in your life that's hurting you. Yeah, there's stuff in your life that's hurting other people. Yeah, there's stuff in your life that offends God, but He loves you so much. He just wants to receive you, accept you, embrace you right now. If there's something in your life that needs to change, it's not my job to fix you. A friend of mine and I always say, we catch him, he cleans him. It's our job to introduce you to Jesus. If something needs to be cleaned out in your life, God will talk to you, God will fix it. But right now, I want you to give your life to Jesus. I want you to become a friend of God. I want you to let Him take away your shame and heal you of your pain and set you up to live a blessed life. And the way we're going to do that is by believing in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. We're going to pray a prayer together. And as we pray this prayer, God is coming into your life. You'll be saved, as Scripture calls it. So everybody, repeat this prayer after me, one line at a time. You won't be alone. Every single person in the room is going to pray this prayer with you, one line at a time. And as you pray this prayer, you're simply asking God to come into your life. If you already have prayed this prayer, if you already believe in the Lord, I want you to have a spirit of faith right now. Believe in God that other people are going to meet Him today. So again, everyone in the room, but especially those who are away from God and those who have never known Him, repeat after me, one line at a time. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. Please forgive me the things that I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. I receive this new life in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.